Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is To Ahead. One of the challenges with being a preacher and being a speaker, honestly, it'd probably be easier in some ways as a speaker at least to be a priest, because then I would have no family except you. I would have no wife. I would have no children, which I would not want ever. But then you could just get up and say stuff, and then you could just get up and talk, and it necessarily would not bring anything to a head in your own house. But one of the challenges of doing this is that I try to be vulnerable and transparent and as real as I can be without crossing too many lines, but that can stir things up in my own house. We recently had about a 15-year conversation in my house with another couple that we trust, and it took a few hours, and we're going to be okay. But a lot of times in a home and in a relationship and in a family, you can go along like everything's okay until it comes to a head, and then it's not so easy. So today, I'm going to talk to you about a bunch of stuff. It's going to be some personal stuff. Hopefully, I don't cross too many lines. Maybe that's all I'll say, at least unless I share some stuff from my side of the ledger. Some of you listening have stuff going on, and you're acting like it's not going on. And there is stuff below the surface. There is stuff that is brewing, and you keep putting hot cloths on it, and you keep trying to keep that thing down, and, you know, where it won't just explode on you. I don't want to be too graphic with too ahead there, but, you know, you think if we just push it away, and as Rebecca and I talking up through this, you know, kind of go through the motions. Some of you are going through the motions, and there still may be some degree of intimacy. You're going through the motions, though. You may be talking, but really the stuff that is deep under the surface that really needs to come out, you're not going there. Now, let me tell you something about God's mercy and his grace. He will bring it to a head. And as painful as that is, you're better off addressing it yourself without it getting to that point. But I am grateful today that he is the kind of God that loves me enough, and my sweet wife enough, and my girls enough, that he would come after me and make sure these things don't get left undone. Now, I may stir up some stuff today, not in an angry way, a mean way, and these are not necessarily the fun ones for me, but if my screw-ups and my pain and my selfishness can help some men, especially listening today, deal with some things, then it'll be good. It'll be okay. If you would, turn over to Genesis chapter 3, just to kind of bring us up to speed. God's created everything. It's all good. It's not good for Adam to be alone. Makes a woman. That's good. It's good for Adam. It doesn't really tell us how long they were in this perfect environment with each other. They were naked and not ashamed. You know, it must have been amazing. They got to go on walks with God in the cool of the day. I mean, that's just crazy stuff. How would you possibly want to screw that up? And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, and I keep coming back to this, the devil's job is to get you to question God's word. Because if you ever find out what the truth is and you apply the truth and live the truth, your life is going to be lived the way it was intended. And so you start believing things. Then the world comes in and says, dude, what are you talking about, man? That's so messed up. That's so jacked. That's not true. You're missing out, man. We're having all the fun and you're getting left behind. You're getting left out. You know, God didn't really mean that. That's not what that says. You know, the Bible's full of errors anyway, so how can you believe all that? Just do the best you can and it'll be okay. You start questioning, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, and we know what he said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. What are you kidding? You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw, and here's the sequence, she saw that the tree was good for food, and you say, well, men are usually the visual ones. Women are visual too, because she saw it and went, it looks good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, it's pretty, and a tree desirable, and now all of a sudden it's a tree that can make me wise. Well, the serpent said that. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The problem with this story, the woman screwed up, but the man is standing right there with her, and it is his responsibility. Now, a lot of men are not going to like this, but if things are messed up in my house, ultimately, it is my responsibility. So if your house is a mess, you say, yeah, but my wife this and my wife that. And you know what? You picked that woman. You've got to take responsibility for your own actions. And marriage trumps feelings, anything you can come up with. So he's standing there. He eats it too. He's with her. Then look at verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, just like that. So now their eyes are open. They knew that they were naked. There's only two people on the whole planet. They've been naked the whole time, but now they know they're naked. What's the big deal? Shame enters into the picture. They've brought sin into the picture. So what do? They knew they were naked. They covered themselves. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So now they're hiding from each other. When sin enters your house, you will start hiding from each other. You start hiding and go seek with each other. Where before, when it's clean, when it's all good, there's nothing to hide. But when sin comes into that relationship, now you're sneaking around, you're hiding. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, now they're not just covering themselves, now they're hiding from God himself. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You start hiding from each other, and then you start hiding from God. And now you're in trouble because you can't hide from God. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, and obviously this is not God, they can't find him, okay? He says, where are you? God knows where you are. He wants you to tell him where you are. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? And then he asked a question, have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? And the man should have just simply said, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, that's what I did. But look at his answer. The woman, and it's not just the woman, it's the woman you gave me. It's your fault, dude. I was fine before you brought the woman. I was by myself, chilling, everything's great. Plenty of animals to take care of. And you go with this anesthesia thing, steal a rib and make the woman, and now it's all screwed up. It's her fault. You got to stop pointing at somebody else. It is not the woman. It's not anybody's fault. You take responsibility for your actions. It all went down on the man's watch. The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent. Everybody's passing the buck. It's nobody's fault, is it? The serpent deceived me and I ate. Three things in here then. You cover yourself, you hide, and you blame. You got to stop all that. You got to stop covering up. You got to stop hiding. You got to stop blaming someone else. And you expose yourself to God and you say, you know what? Here's the deal. This is what I did when I did it. It's on my watch that this marriage is falling apart and I take responsibility and you can hold me accountable. But now that I've said all that, Lord, you can't hold me accountable because I can't take this heat. So I throw myself at your mercy because I can't do it by myself. I'm willing to admit it. So I confess it. It is my responsibility. Now you got to forgive me because you said that was the deal. And then once it gets cleaned up, an animal in the Old Testament, in this case, has to die to make clothes for them. God makes clothes so they can cover themselves. Not the way it was intended to be, though. And ultimately, another lamb died to get us some new clothes. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12. In this story, a king named David, who God loved before all this mess and after, a man after God's own heart, supposed to be out to war. It's the time of year when kings go out to war. Didn't go to war. He's out on his balcony, looks down, sees a woman named Bathsheba. Her husband's name is Uriah. Uriah is off at war. He's supposed to be the king lusts after. All he had to do is go, whoops, you know, go back in his house. Don't have to stare at this woman. He sees her. He wants her, sends for her, brings her up, sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. He brings Uriah back from the front, trying to get him drunk and send him back to his house so that he'll sleep with his wife. Then it looked like, you know, he got her pregnant and cover it. See how all these things go? Fix the problem. Uriah is a soldier. He's a man. He comes and sleeps at his wife's door. He will not even go in the house. And his answer is, if my men can't be with their wives, I will not be with my wife. So then Uriah is sent back into battle with a letter to the commander on the front to say, put this guy on the front lines where he will be killed. He gets killed, and it looks like it's all okay. Uriah's dead. Bathsheba mourns. Bathsheba comes to be with David. She's pregnant, and you think, oh, it all went okay. Not so much. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you the man, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. And if that wasn't enough, I'd have given you more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. And it's very interesting. Never mentions Bathsheba's name. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house and I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your neighbor and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son, for you did it secretly. Now look at this. You did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Finally, he steps up and takes responsibility. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. I don't want to sound mean here at all. Life is filled with choices and with consequences. And you say, but there's mercy, there is grace. There's God, he'll pardon, he'll forgive, all these things. I understand that. But you cannot underestimate consequence. Not all of you are going to make it. How do you make it or not make it? You string a life of choices together. And you say, but I've made some horrible choices. Well, then you have to make a choice at that moment when the consequence of that choice hits. You have to make a choice as to how you're going to respond to the consequence. And that's another choice. You have to at some point stop and say, God, enough bad choices. I choose in this consequence even to confess that it's sin. See, David stepped up to the plate. God did not kill him. And later, as I said earlier, he said, this is a man after God's own heart. You can turn the tide, but it all has consequences. And those things that Nathan said to David, those things happened about his wives, about the sword never departing from his house. It was catastrophic. It all came to a head for David. Now he moved on and God still used him. And God is so kind. Galatians chapter 6, we'll jump in at verse 7. Now please, when you open your Bible like this and you read this stuff, I'm about to read you some pretty intense stuff. You have to look at this stuff and you have to say, either this is true or it's not. And if it is, I better pay attention because there's something to this. He says, do not be deceived. Where did we start in Genesis chapter 3? Where did it all get screwed up? Somebody got deceived. So, you want your life to go well? Do not be deceived. Stop being deceived. So he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Because we kind of flip and go, well, yeah, you know, Jesus died in the blood of the Lamb and I can do what I want to and my daddy will get me off. Yes and no. It'll come to a head and there will be consequence and it will not be fun and it will be painful and you're going to have to make choices at that point. So don't mock God by being deceived and thinking it's all just going to be okay. And here's what his point is. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever you shove in the ground is going to come out of the ground. You don't plant corn and get prunes. So think about what you're sticking in the ground. What are you sowing day after day after day? That is what you're going to reap. If you sow sin, you're going to reap pain. If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap blessing. It's a whole nother way to live. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't give up. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the part I really don't like talking about, but here we go. Ephesians chapter 5. I usually read this little stretch of scripture here at weddings when I do them. And there's a portion in here, verse 22, says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know what? I think I used to be afraid of those verses. I'm not afraid anymore. My wife's job is to be subject to me. I am the head. That's the deal. That's what she signed up for. Whether she knows that or not, that is the deal. Now, you know what makes it so stinking hard for her to do that job? Because I will not lead. You know why it's hard on your wife? You say, well, she should be submitted to me and subject and all those words in the Bible, right there, right there. Those are my life verses right there. If I could just get my woman to do that, everything would be okay. You know why she ain't doing that probably? Now, she's supposed to do it no matter what, but it makes it easier on a woman to live that way if you will be the head, if you'll lead. Talked to a guy this week, abdicated his responsibility in his home, and his wife kicked in, had to kick in, had to lead, had to make decisions. He wouldn't do anything. And so he's growing spiritually. He's maturing. He's growing up as a man. And now he's taking stands and trying to lead, and it's creating awkwardness in the home because she's not used to that. So there might be some transition period. You got to stop being afraid of your Bible. And you guys have got to stop being afraid of these women you're married to and lead them. Because it's not going to change until you lead them. But you'll never be the head of your house until Christ is head of your life. Now, and part of my little discussion with my wife the other day, sitting out on the front porch for a long time, just going at this, I said to her, I have not loved you unconditionally since I married you. And I think there was a misunderstanding about that. But what I tried to explain to her was these next few verses. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is what it looks like from a selfish man's point of view. Yeah, I love you. I'll marry you. But you know what? There better be something coming my way. And if there's not, I'm going to find me some ways to manipulate this thing and make sure it comes back around my way. because I got needs. I got things I want you to do for me. And so then we embark on this relationship where, yeah, I'll fold some clothes. I'll load some dishwashers. I'll pay some bills. But you know what? That better result in something for me. And if you don't take care of me and you leave me out, it ain't gonna be fun around here because I'm gonna be upset, some kind of upset. And I'm gonna pout and I'm gonna be mean and angry. You know what? It's hogwash. It's selfishness. My job, and it's taken me a long time to even have a place to get my head around this, my job is to let God love me in such a way that I understand, and it took me forever to get this. This God loves me no matter what. If I never serve him another day in my life and go jump off a spiritual cliff somewhere and end it all, he will not love me anymore right now or then. He just loves me. And until you let him love you that way, now you're manipulating him. So you do a little something, something for God. You say, well, you know what? I obeyed for a whole week. Now what are you going to do for me, brother? I want something coming my way. At least, you know, I don't want any bones here. I want some meat on my bones. I want you to do something for me. Don't we play these games? I'm serving you, Lord. You owe me. You know, he owes you nothing. So you let God love you, and you get to the place where you understand he just loves me. You go, God, so if I do the wrong thing, you still love me? Yep. I do the right thing, you love me more? Nope. I just love you. So when you get an understanding of that, then you look at your sweet wife and you say, you know what? I appear at least, I'm trying to move it from my head to my heart. I got to stop doing things to get something back. I need to just love my wife. And you say, well, you're all good now? No, I didn't say that. But when you take away the demands and the expectations and trying to play this tug of war of, well, I did that, now you owe me. You can't play it that way. Because you're playing a game then. That's not what it's intended to be. Now, here's the manipulative piece of the thing. Then I say, well, if I do it all perfectly, and I love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, then miraculously everything I want will appear, and she'll be a new person, and I'll be all happy. What if that doesn't happen? You got to keep loving, baby. Amen. You keep loving as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Whether we respond to that love or not, he still chose to do it.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
It is messy stuff, but it works. It works. And I thank God that it comes to a head from time to time. Because then you talk about stuff. I am still basically a very selfish man. I know that. And my flesh flares and gets in the way. And what about me? And God's teaching me. And so I share these things with you. Because if you want things to go better in your house and for your life, you are going to have to deal with these things when they come to a head and not just shove them down somewhere and act like it's not going on. You might have to get another couple or go to counseling or something and sit down and talk it out. I can't do this by myself. I need my wife. I need other people. And I thank God there was a sweet couple that would sit down with the two of us. You're in trouble. You say, would you sit down with us? We're in trouble. And you know what? I really don't want to sit down with you because you're going to be a pain in the butt. It's going to take time. We're going to cry. I'm going to have to listen to all your crap. And, you know, it's just going to be a nightmare. Because I had to do it through the night with somebody. And the whole time I was doing it, I was aware these poor people are having to put up with us. But you know what? I was willing to let them because I wasn't going to make it without some help. And you're not going to make it without some help. And what I do for God's sake, for my sweet wife's sake, and trying to model something for three little girls' sake back there. Because there's a good chance they're gonna end up with some old slug like me. But if I treat their mama better,
there's a chance I'll expect that and won't expect any less. So there's a lot riding on these decisions you make.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.